Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray according to your word. So I give thanks to those who are gathered here today or listening to this teaching by any other type of format, and pray for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, so that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also the one to come. And he has put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him, Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For this reason we bow our knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we might be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We are studying Seek First the Kingdom of God. Let's return to our foundation scripture in Matthew 6. Starting with verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Then verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We have been teaching the last two or three weeks on the effect of, or the relationship of, government education as opposed to Christian education, and what meaning biblically that has in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because state-sponsored education is from the kingdom of darkness, and is opposed to the kingdom of light or the kingdom of God. Just a quick review from last week. The idea that public school is neutral is false. That's a lie. So, after all, isn't the public school neutral? In fact, our public school is different. This is the claim that's always made by compromising Christians who send their precious children to be brainwashed by the hands of their enemies and the enemies of God. So what's actually wrong about sending my children to spend several hours a day in a classroom that is, quote, filled, permeated, and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous greed, malice, full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, and treachery, ill will and cruel way, secret backbiters and gossipers, slanders, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents, without understanding, conscienceless and faithless, heartless and loveless and merciless, though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them." End of quote. That's Romans 1, 29 through 32. Well, that's not our public school. Our public school isn't filled. All the public schools are filled with that. All the public schools teach. They are now in the First Amendment has been used to take God out of the schools, and God, for the most part, wasn't part of the public schools to begin with. He was the founders of public education in this country wanted to preach a new religion of a new humanity, not the new humanity of the followers of Jesus Christ, the new humanity of the humanist man, the autonomous man, where God is not allowed to be in view. It is very quickly they embrace the evolution faith, Darwinianism. And so even if you taught your children creation at home, they're still functional Darwinists, and so are you by the fact that you send them to that school. That you and your children may, on one hand, in a double-minded way, say that God created the earth, but you function as though evolution is true, as though man is the center of all things, and that man can answer the problems of life because that's the focus of public schools. Man is God. And so they are taught that homosexuality is acceptable. They are taught murder is acceptable. They are taught abortion is acceptable. They are taught that God has nothing to do with mathematics. They are not taught history, particularly accurate history. The history they are taught is full and saturated with myths and lies. And so there's no neutrality there. So what's wrong with several hours of instructing the children to exchange the truth of God for a lie? We can counter that with 1 hour Sunday school and then a pizza party on Friday night with the youth group, can't we? Aren't these really Caesar's children? In fact, this is when back in 1984 we started, the church that I pastored started our first Christian school. One of the parents, remember this is 25 years ago, so we can understand some of the deception that Christian parents had then. I can't understand it at all today after this many years of the public of Christian education and homeschooling that they would still send their kids to a public school. But she quoted the scripture, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that's God's." Well, remember when Jesus said that, he was saying this to his enemies. He's saying this to people who are trying to trap him. And he very eloquently escaped the trap and turned the trap on them. But just a surface reading of you not knowing what was going on, for number one, have you ever seen a denarius? Jesus didn't have one. He asked them for one, and he caught them in their hypocrisy. You have to understand his reply was the hypocrites. Hypocrites who God was not their God. That was very plain. Jesus made it very clear that the unbelieving Jews then, as well as unbelieving Jews or unbelieving Gentiles today, do not worship God. Because there's only one way through to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus made it plain then. He made it plain that he was taking away the kingdom from them and giving it to another people. What people? The people that believe in him. Jews and Gentiles, believing Jews and Gentiles, not the unbelieving Jews who thought that they had a natural birthright to the kingdom of God, that it belonged to them because of their race. God's not a racist. God is not a respecter of race. He's a respecter of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So they had rejected Christ. Christ had rejected them. And so when he showed them the denarius, that's when he said, "Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and to God that which is God's." Well, how much of creation it belongs to Caesar and doesn't belong to God? Nothing. There's no neutrality, and there is no other God. And when the Bible commands to have no other gods before him, that doesn't mean that these gods are real. It's a figment of men's imagination or their idols that they worship as a god. But there's no real God. There's one God, God alone, the Almighty God, the Triune God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, that God. And those who, many people who profess Christ, don't worship that God because the image that they have in their minds, the belief system that they have about God being false and not from the Bible, is not the God of the Bible. That's another God. It's not that God, the God. And so if you were studious enough to do a little research and see what that denarius was, because that's important to this phrase, render to Caesar that which is Caesar, render to God that which belongs to God. Or what they knew, even if you didn't, what he was doing. He caught them in hypocrisy. He caught them in idolatry, because on that denarius, which Jesus didn't have, that's like when they were asked about taxes, Jesus didn't have a 1041 in his back pocket. They had the denarius. They're trying to catch him on either side. If he said, well, you are to pay taxes, then the nation of Israel, the people as a whole who were offended by the invasion and the occupation of the Roman army and of Caesar, would have rejected him as being the Messiah. They wouldn't believe he's a true Messiah if he said to pay your taxes. Now, if he said, don't pay your taxes, well, the people would be for him, but then those Pharisees would have turned him in to Caesar and to the Roman army to be tried for a tax rebellion. So they believed they had him either way. But they had to be on one side of the fence or the other. They were either paying taxes or they were in a tax rebellion. And most likely they were paying taxes. They were hypocrites. And they would accuse him to the people of the very thing that they themselves were practicing. But if you were to look at that denarius, on that denarius was an image, an idol. It was an image of Caesar Augustus. And on that image, or inscribed under that image, it says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, have you ever heard that phrase before? Yeah, that's what Jesus is. That's what the Bible describes Jesus as, King of Kings and Lords and Lord of Lords. And that Caesar worship was predominant in the Roman Empire at that time. Caesar was looked upon as being a god. And Caesar was taking God's titles. So what Jesus was saying is to these hypocrites, give to Caesar that which is Caesar. This is Caesar's. It's got Caesar's image on it. And you are hypocrites because you actually are worshipers of Caesar. Well, how do we know this? Because before Pontius Pilate, when the priests we were betraying Jesus, Pontius Pilate asked, he said, we have a tradition, this time we'll release one person. Do you want me to release Christ or release Jesus? They said, no, Barabbas. And Pontius Pilate caught them. He said, this is the King of the Jews. They said, no, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, excuse me, God is not your king any longer? God is not your ruler any longer? They were worshipers of Caesar before then. They had been compromising with Caesar all along. And so they had a syncretic religion. They were worshiping Caesar worship, traditions of men, as Jesus pointed out to them, with some biblical faith at the same time, which is to reject all biblical faith. It is a total rejection. The mix worship of God with the worship of anything else is an outright rejection of God, because he demands that we worship him alone. So going back to this parent saying, well, we're to render Caesar what Caesar's to Caesar's and render to God what's God. In other words, apparently she didn't understand that her children belong to God. She's ready to render them to Caesar. She's saying that Caesar has a demand on my children that supersedes my own demand. I'm to give Caesar what Caesar demands. And in this country, we have no Caesar. We do have the images of men on coins, but we've never declared that they are a Caesar, though functionally, Christians, professing Christians, and unbelievers alike look to Washington, D.C. as a Caesar. If, in fact, by law, if we had any type of Caesar, it would be the Constitution, which is a rejection of Caesar. Our country rejected its king. The colonies rejected, the 13 colonies rejected King George III, who is the King of England, the King of Scotland, the King of Ireland, the King of the colonies. We weren't English colonies, we were the King's colonies. He was the King of these separate countries and nations. The colonies were looked upon as separate states or separate nations, but not independent yet from the King. So, we have not had a Caesar or a king since the War for Independence. We have no Caesar. And our founding fathers recognized one king. They said, no king but Jesus. So, we have no Caesar. And even if we had a Caesar, we are not to give Caesar what belongs to God. We are to give Caesar only what God delegates to Caesar. Nothing more. And we don't have time to go into that today, but it's not your children. Your children belong to God. And therefore, you are to educate them and train them according to God's commandments. Christ professing parents have not only bought the humanist lie that public education is neutral regardless regarding religion, but that public education is a necessity to have success in life. The Bible is very clear that instead they are to be dedicated to building their lives, upon humanism's quicksands of ruin. And turn to Matthew chapter 7. It is a lie that state education is neutral. Who told you it was neutral? The humanists told you it was neutral. They said there's not to be religion here. But religion is inescapable. Everyone has presuppositions. Everyone has an idea of how the worlds were created. They have an idea of of a standard for morality. What's their standard of morality? The sinking sands of humanism's opinion. What is considered politically accepted today or moral today was unacceptable or immoral 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. The opinions are always changing. And right now they're promoting homosexuality. But give them 10 years, they will be promoting that's because already it's accepted for teenagers to have sex, even though the laws are against it. Remember, there used to be laws, I mean, even during my lifetime, there were laws against homosexuality. They weren't enforced hardly ever, if ever, but they were there. Child sex is the next thing, and that's what the homos are going after after. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah, they want the right to molest babies and children. They butcher and kill babies now. This is why radical homosexuals will be out to violently oppose and beat up pro-life protesters, because they see that even though they can't have a baby, they see it being the same salt, assault on their personal beliefs, which is anything goes. In other words, the only laws should be against enforcing laws. The only thing that should be wiped out, according to ACLU, will not be child sex. It'll be Christianity, and has been Christianity. The reason that Christianity is so violently opposed by humanism is because of the law of God, because of the standard of righteousness, which is being watered down more and more, even within the churches. Child sex, I mean, right now it's anything goes as long as it's consenting adults, no matter what. I mean, have sex with a pig or a sheep, have sex between, you have bestiality is the thing they're going to push next, and after that it will be no longer that sex between consenting adults should be legalized, but sex between consenting people, even if it's an infant. That's what will be pushed next. Because when you have no standard, you have nothing to anchor your beliefs to, which the public schools don't. It's the worship of man. And they proclaim that there's not to be religion there. But even over 20 years ago, they allowed children to bring the game Dungeons and Dragons, which is religion. It's a worship of demons. And now many schools practice Islam. In fact, just recently in the news, not the lamestream or mainstream media, they won't report this yet, but one child of Christian professing parents, or two girls actually, is that her class, the teacher made them do a Muslim prayer. Now, what would happen if she would have forced her children, her students, not her children, well, they are by default, the parents gave up their children and gave them to the state. What if she would have forced them to pray a Christian prayer? She would have lost her job. She may have even gone to jail. But the media didn't say a peep. The mainstream media, not a politician that said a peep. I mean, this probably would have gone to the White House if she, no doubt, President Obama would have denounced her. If she would have forced her children, to her students, to pray a Christian prayer. But to pray a Muslim prayer was totally accepted. Nobody said anything. Why? Well, they don't want you to know that they're praying Muslim prayers. They don't want you to know that in public school that, and even 7 years ago, we saw this in public schools, or at least one public school, where during the time of Christmas, is that when they sang Christmas songs, they weren't the same, they weren't singing the same words that we sung, when I sung in public school, in the 60s of Silent Night, and I mean, at least we weren't gagged and bound then, even though humanism was the religion. Now you can't sing those words in those carols, and you can't even say Christmas. It's just the holiday. But on one wall of posters about Ramadan. So they're going to be able to be outright proponents and evangelists for Islam, and the same radical faith that caused 9/11 and terrorism all over the world. And yet Christianity, no. So that's what your kids are getting in public schools if you senselessly send them there. So the Bible is very clear that instead they are dedicated to building their lives upon humanism's quicksands of ruins. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is very plain that you need to stop accepting everyone as being a Christian who says they're a Christian if you see that they're living a different life. Now, upon their confession, I'll accept that until I have evidence to the contrary. But he's saying not everyone who professes Christ, who says they're a Christian, or who says Jesus is Lord, will enter into heaven. Not if they are opposed to the will of God. 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I've heard it many times. Well, in our school, it's different. We Some of the teachers are Christians. Yeah, and when they walk through those doors, they deny Christ. They're not allowed to mention Christ any longer. So they work their jobs as though they are not Christians. They have to deny him. They have to do the will of the humanist agenda while they're in those schools. And therefore, verse 24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Public education is bringing a fall. Public education denies that Christ is Lord. Public education will never be reformed. It's been 150 years, and it's only declined. We've never seen any type of reformation in public schools and never will. It's never happened. It's never gotten better. I'm going to read from chapter 8 in Gary DeMar's book, He Who Controls the Schools Rules the World. And this one's Balaam's Donkey Has Spoken is the title. The quote, there's no one underlying set of assumptions that guides the moral life of American children, end of quote. And that's quoted from Joan Connell, American Children Are Becoming Moral Illiterates. Gary DeMar goes on to say, I believe God has given us a very clear message through the modern day equivalent of Balaam's donkey, the United States Supreme Court, and nearly every lower court. Balaam was called on by Balak, the king of Moab, to prophesy against Israel. God had warned Balaam to stay away from Moab. Balaam refused. The angel of the Lord met Balaam on the road as he was going down to meet Balak. Balaam's donkey refused to confront the angel of the Lord. Balaam struck his donkey 3 times to force him ahead. Finally, Balaam realized that it was the Lord who was directing him to turn around. Repeatedly, the Supreme Court has ruled against Christians in their attempts to bring prayer, Bible reading, and even a cursory mention of a creator back to the classroom. Like Balaam, a majority of Christians refuse to heed the message that God is giving them through the court. Seek a different route. Saying prayers at sporting events, reciting Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, praying around a flagpole once a year, and having the right to a moment of silence do not constitute a Christian education. The entire curriculum must be Christ-centered. God is speaking to us through the court. Get your children out of the schools that deny me. Do we have the sense to listen to what God is telling us? Students in public schools are often denied the right to discuss religion except in a multicultural way. If Christianity is discussed, it can only be studied in the context of other religious belief systems in their historical setting. But as we've seen, even this approach is no longer accepted in reference to Christianity. Stephen Williams, a fifth grade teacher at Stevens Creek School in the San Francisco Bay Area suburb of Cupertino, was barred by his school from giving students documents from American history that referred to God, including the Declaration of Independence, which establishes the basis of our rights in that they are an endowment from the Creator and not a gift from the state. Criticism of evolution is forbidden in most public governmental educational institutions, even if the discussion is solely academic. The claim is made that behind the criticism lurks religious presuppositions. Abstinence education also falls in that category. In other words, abstinence is not allowed to be taught as a way of preventing pregnancy or transmitting sexual diseases in the public schools because abstinence is presupposing Christianity. They can't have any of that, so you have to not talk about abstinence. so much for the claim of Christian teachers are going to make a difference in the public schools. And 150 years they haven't. When is this magical change going to take place? It had to be magical because it's outside of the sphere of God's authority. It's in rebellion to him. Going on to with Gary DeMar, Christians want to believe that academic freedom is an operating principle in academic settings, so they push for equal time for Jesus, or the two-model approach to teaching origins. Academic freedom is a one-way street. The notion of academic freedom is used by secularists to persuade Christians to open their educational establishments to non-Christian teachers who can teach so-called neutral subjects like science, music, math, where religion is irrelevant. If you believe that any subject is neutral, you don't believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because all things are made by him and for him. Mathematics is created by him and for him. Science is created by him. This is me now, not Gary DeMar. By him and for him. Music is taught, is to be taught as coming from God, by God, created by him, and it's for him. Anything less denies the lordship of Jesus Christ, because Jesus isn't Lord over some small sphere of life, like family and church. He is Lord over all life, all creation. He is the creator. He is Lord over all of his creation. And to quote, or try to quote, Abraham Kuyper, there is not one inch of all of creation where Christ does not claim mine. There's nothing outside of his claim. He is Lord of all. That means everything. There's no neutral territory. There's no neutral square inch in all of creation where we can say this is neutral. Christ cannot be here. That's what they claim. But they, the public school education system, will one day be dropped in its entirety. All of humanism, all of Islam, all of the false Judaism, Hinduism, every false belief system will be dropped into the lake of fire. It'll be completely judged and completely destroyed. It's judged now, but the execution entirely of that judgment will take place, along with their creator, Satan. Are you saying that Satan is the creator of Judaism? Yes. Judaic worship that denies Christ? Yes. He's the author of that. He is the supreme Antichrist. And Jews who do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord are Antichrist. That's what the apostles told us. And not only Jews, but unbelieving Gentiles. Everyone who's not a Christian is an Antichrist. There's not one Antichrist. John said there are many Antichrists. There are many people who are opposed to Christ. End of story. Okay, going back to Gary DeMar. The greatest scientists, so they believe neutral subjects like the notion of academic freedom is used by secularists to persuade Christians to open their educational establishments to non-Christian teachers who can teach so-called neutral subjects like science, music, and math, where religion is irrelevant. The greatest scientists and mathematicians did not make a division between religion and knowledge. Nicholas Copernicus, 1473 to 1543, the Polish astronomer, marveled when he observed the land of God in the correlation between mathematical thought and the actions of nature. To him, the universe was wrought for us by a supremely good and orderly creator. End of quote. He lauded the Creator in praise, quote, so great is the divine work of the great and noble Creator, end of quote. Harvard was lost when it separated the religion department from the academic departments on the assumption that knowledge is neutral. There is no such open-door policy in secular institutions. In other words, Christians did it. They opened the door to seculars, but seculars won't open the door to the Christians. They'll let Christians come in who will teach their secular humanism. Public schools, going on with Gary DeMar, public schools are no exception. Are we surprised when public schools act consistent with their adopted secularist worldview? We shouldn't be. He who pays the piper calls the tune. He who collects your tax dollars by force develops and enforces the curriculum. When will Christians understand this? Why do Christians waste time, money, and their children in defense of public government education, while Christians attempt to, quote, unquote, save their beloved local public schools? Another generation of young people is seduced by the anti-Christian worldview of a materialist education. This has been happening for decades with no progress. Public schools aren't even what they were in the 1960s. Watch Mr. Holland's opus, which follows the career of a school's music teacher from 1965 to 1995, and Lean on Me to see the retrogression. The no public education view is popular with the majority of Christians. Blasting public education in America is for some akin to blaspheming on holy ground. What would communities do without their high school sports team and their quote-unquote free education? In order to justify the continued support of public government education, the following excuses are often given. Quote, we can't afford to send our children to private schools. Another one, only a few things need to be fixed. It's not the church's job to educate. My child is a witness for Christ in public schools. Our school is different. I want my child to be exposed to the real world. Public schools are not the real world. They are a refuge of lies. A lie is not the real world. A lie is a lie. It's a misconception or a distortion of reality. Evolution is not reality, folks. How can you expose them to evolution? Socialism. Socialism is not reality. We see a collapsing world now. The Soviet Union collapsed because they were Soviets. They were socialists. China has only progressed because China began to leave socialism more and more to accept capitalism. And capitalism, in reality, is Christianity. And I believe it's because of the millions and millions of born-again Christians in China that China began to move away from socialism as this country and Europe continues its slide further and further down into socialism and Keynesian economics. So we can't afford to send our children to public school. Gary DeMar says, if Christians pulled their children out of public schools, voted down every tax increase having to do with education, repealed the education portion of the property tax, and supported candidates who would cut every dollar from education funding, then most families could afford the cost involved. This money spent on trying to save public schools would go a long way to establish scholarship funds for families who cannot afford a private school education. Might take some sacrifice, and Gary DeMar said he drove a 14-year-old car while his wife and he sent their children to private Christian schools. So you're not driving a 14-year-old car, you're driving a late model car. You got some room to maneuver. You got the ability, and you should be voting down every tax increase, because every tax increase is a vote that Caesar is Lord and not Jesus is Lord, because God's tax is 10%. Anything that comes that equals that tax or supersedes it is a replacement of God as being our king. It's another God. And we have another God today. It's the political, humanistic system of faith that has rejected Christ, Christianity. Usually, I think most areas, about half of the property tax goes for government education. But we have state taxes. We have federal taxes on top of that. If all of the spending of the government was cut, and therefore cut your taxes, you could very easily afford to, or everyone would be easy to afford the education of their children. Only a few things need to be fixed. Spare me. Everything needs to be fixed. It is humanist to the core. It is another religion. It is paganism. You send your kids to public for public education. You and your children are practicing pagans. It's not the church's job to educate. It's certainly the church's job to educate. The church didn't start on the day of Pentecost. Scripture shows us that, I believe it's Acts 7, that Stephen, before being stoned, mentioned the church in the wilderness. That was a church. The church started with Abraham. And the Levitical priest and the tribe of Levi had the responsibility of teaching and educating the children of Israel. And so they were the most advanced nation educationally, because they taught their children to read at very young ages. The reason they taught them, so they could read scripture. My child is a witness for Christ in the public schools. By being in public school, you are witnessing the fact that Jesus is not Lord over all. What type of Christ are you witnessing to, you and your child? What type of gospel do you present? Do you tell them, are your children casting down every imagination? Humanism is an imagination. You've sent them to fill their minds with humanism. So the type of Christ that you present is not the Christ of the Bible, because the Christ of the Bible is Lord over all. All things are made by him and for him. And you're violating God's commandments when you send them there, because the only type of education that the Bible recognizes is an education of training your children in the commandments of God, acknowledging God as the creator, and that you're to be able to teach them those commandments day and night. And we're to keep how many of God's commandments? How many of God's commandments must we keep? All of them? All of them? Are you saying that we need to sacrifice a sheep today, a lamb, because the Bible commands that? Well, I covered that last week. No. Well, you said to keep all the commandments. Yes. That commandment is kept when you acknowledge and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, because he is the Lamb of God. A commandment is a commandment until God changes it. And all of God's commandments are now in the complete canon of Scripture. So there's no way to change commandments that have not already been changed in Scripture. That's been changed. The commandment didn't end. It was fulfilled in Christ, and so it's kept in Christ. The commandment of the sheep, the slaughter of the turtle doves, those type of offerings, those sacrifices, were made then in the Old Testament form of worship to give them a visual representation of the coming Christ. Well, now he has come, and it's fulfilled in Christ. But which of the Ten Commandments aren't you supposed to keep? Which of the case laws aren't you to keep? You're to keep all of them. If you don't keep all of them, if you don't keep even the smallest of them, the Bible says you're least in the kingdom. Matthew 5:19, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you teach others that the least of these commandments are annulled, well, is Deuteronomy 6 annulled? That you're to teach your sons, your children, the commandments of God when you're in the way with them, when you sit down with them, in other words, day and night? Has that been annulled? No. Then if you're not doing that, you're least in the kingdom. You're barely in the kingdom. If you're sending your kids to public schools, you may be saved. And if you are, you're barely saved. You're not a mature Christian. You are a baby in need of the sincere milk of the word. And I would gather that you're choking even on the milk. You're having problems even with the milk. You're a little baby in Christ. There are no mature Christians who send their kids to government schools. There aren't any. There are some Christians. Because they're babies yet, they may not know what they're doing. If you're listening to me, you now know. So you need to choose what side you're going to be on. Either Jesus is Lord or man is God. And in government education, man is God. It's man's rules, man's laws, man's religion, man is worship. So, the Bible doesn't tell us to merely be a witness. It gives us a great commission. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. So let's find out what real evangelism is. What is evangelism? Because if you don't fulfill all the great commission, you are not evangelizing. What's the faith that your child, if it's a witness of Christ, what's the faith that the child who's being witnessed to, if they accept this form of Christ that your child, you and your child are proclaiming, what type of faith are they going to have? They're still going to have a faith in man. They're going to have a faith that they can profess Christ, and yet they don't have to do the will of the Father, that they can prophesy in his name. They can evangelize in his name. But what's going to happen to you and your child when you stand at the gate? What's going to happen when you trusted in man? When you made man your standard? When you said that, well, there are Christians who are teachers there, then your standard is not the Word of God. Your standard is other people who say they're Christians. You come under a curse, according to Jeremiah 17, because you put your trust in man. When you say, the teacher is the principal is a Christian. The teachers are a Christian. What you're saying is, my trust isn't in Christ and keeping his commandments. My trust is in those who say that. My trust is in man. Man who says they're a Christian. Are you examining to see that they have fruit? What kind of fruit do they have if they deny Christ to keep their jobs? Thus says the Lord, curse in Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Your heart is turning away from the Lord. You're making man your strength when you say that you will give up your children to be educated by this false Caesar, to be trained in humanism, and your excuse is that there are teachers who say they are Christians. Hitler said he was a Christian, but he was a pagan. He was a murderer. He was an idolater. He practiced witchcraft. But to get elected, he said he is a Christian. But even if they are Christians, your standard now is people who say they're Christians, not Christ himself, not his law word. The Bible doesn't say for you to obey Christians. It says you are to obey God's commandments. Now, you are to obey rulers. And Jesus and Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. You're only to follow rulers who are following Christ, who are keeping his commandments. And putting a little wristband around your wrist or your child's wrist that has the initials, what would Jesus do?
and then leave it to your imagination to imagine what Jesus will do. The standard is not what you think Jesus would do. The standard is God's law, because Jesus said that's what he kept. He said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, which it does when it says that it's a Christian and it's a teacher and it walks into that government school, it's now become tasteless salt because it can't proclaim Christ there. How will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, however, are to be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. If they are Christians, they could not be hidden there. They are hidden because they won't mention Christ except in very secret little circles. They will not proclaim openly. What's a city set on a hill? That's a city that everybody can see. That's up there on the hill that when you look up, you see that city. What's the city? It's a community of believers. You can see this community of believers that is organized under the governments of God, proclaiming the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of life. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure or a bushel basket, but on the lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How can a Christian proclaim evolution? You're not allowed to proclaim creation. How can they take that lie in the curriculum and teach children, and then you go your merry way and say, we have a Christian teacher? No, what you have is a bushel basket that's hidden its light. Jesus didn't say, Jesus is making very plain that's not his way. That's not the way of Christianity. What good does a light do that's hidden? What good does it do? That's not a defense at all that we have a Christian principal or a Christian teachers. What you have is lampstands hidden under bushel baskets. Your children will never see the light that should be reflected from these people, because they deny Christ day after day after day. They deny Christ not only in history, they deny Christ in their so-called social studies, in grammar, in science, in mathematics. They deny Christ in every area, even in music. Unless you proclaim that music originated by Christ and it's for Christ, then you're denying Christ. You're anti-Christ when you walk into that room. And so what good does it do to be a teacher who says that you're a Christian? And then, as we already read in Matthew 7, not everyone, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says they're a Christian will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Are Christian teachers doing the will of the Father there? Well, they get to evangelize. They don't get to evangelize the children. Who are they there to evangelize? One another? And then you teach them by example. If you want a teacher to Christ, you're teaching them by example that they can compromise. They don't have to keep God's commandments, because you're not teaching God's commandments, that they can just merely proclaim Lord, Lord, and not do the will of the Father. What's the Father's will? They're called the commandments. And if you read the previous sermons in this series, you already know the commandments regarding education. You are not to train yourself and your children the way of the heathen, the way of pagans. Public education is paganism to the very core, was paganism from its inception. It's always been pagan. I'll quote that again, Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations or the heathen. Do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the heavens are terrified by them. Well, we give them truth when they get home. Well, no, you don't, because you're not keeping the commandments. You're not giving them truth. You're giving them your version of truth. You're giving them your mixture of Christianity and humanism, because you're a humanist because you sent your kids to a humanist school. You wouldn't send them to a Muslim school if you're a Christian. You wouldn't send them to a Hindu school if you're a Christian. You won't even, if you're a charismatic, you wouldn't even send them to a Baptist Sunday school that also at least professes Christ. You wouldn't do that, but you'll send them right out to the heathen, the enemies of God, who will thoroughly indoctrinate them as humanists. And you violated the commandment not to learn the way of the heathen. It didn't say you're allowed to learn the way of the heathen for 7 hours a day as long as you, as a parent, when they come home, give them 15 minutes of truth. You are lying. You are self-deceived. You're not keeping the commandments. And let's just talk about evangelism a little bit. Evangelism isn't a mugging mission for Jesus on a Tuesday night where you thrust the four spiritual laws in somebody's face, and as long as they say Jesus, oh, they're saved. You're not saved just because you said you are a Christian. Well, I already said, only those who do the will of the Father. Not only those who profess, but those who do the will. What's the will of God? It's all of his commandments. In fact, that's what evangelism is. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, until you, at least you walk into a public school, right? Then you have to deny him. You can't even, many schools, you can't even wear a Christian t-shirt. You can wear something about death and abortion, but you can't proclaim Christ on their t-shirt. Why do we think we can reform that? It's never happened. But this is evangelism. If your child is a witness for Christ, then they're going to witness. They're a witness by keeping the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Recognizing the authority of Christ. Well, hold on. You can't do that in public school. They're under somebody else's authority. They're under authority of man, of the state. We're the make disciples. That means discipline. What's discipline? Discipline means keeping the commandments. And you're violating the commandments by sending your children there. So how can you and your children witness when you're not faithful to the covenant? You're unfaithful witnesses. What you witness to is an idol, not Christ. Your imagination of what Christ is, not what he says he is. Therefore, you're not a witness of Christ. You're a witness to your lie about Christ. It's not the same, because you can't separate Christ from being disciplined according to his commandments. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe, that means to keep, to obey all that I have commanded you. All. Not starting with the New Testament, starting with Genesis 1:1, going all the way through the end of the book of Revelation. That's a witness. There's nobody witnessing in the public schools. Why? Because you are a witness to the fact that you break and dishonor God's commandments by being there. You are self-deceived, patting yourself on the back for doing something really good, being a good little Pharisee, being a hypocrite. And yet Jesus says, Matthew 5:20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have a Pharisaic faith. Where God is not God, God is what you and man's tradition says he is. Your commandments, you keep the state's commandment to go to public education, but you deny Christ's commandments when you do it. You're to be a city set on the hill. Teachers in public school who profess Christ are not the city on the hill. They are not the light. Jesus said you're to be the light of the world. They turn their light off. They crawl under their bushel basket when they bow down to the plantation master at the public school system. And yet all along, Balaam's donkey, the Supreme Court, the courts keep saying, no, you can't do that here, you can't do that here, you can't do that here. You need to go another direction. What's that direction? You take responsibility for your children. You educate your children, either homeschool them or hire tutors through a Christian school, and you train them not in the way of the heathen, but the way of righteousness, and that Jesus is Lord over every area of life, including science, including math, including history, and you start working these things out, and you give your children a Christian education so that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And there is no fear of God in the eyes of the established state-sponsored schools. You train them in the fear of the Lord, and they will grow in knowledge, and they will meditating God's law word, speaking God's law word, acting upon God's law word day and night, according to Joshua 1:8, they will be successful. They will prosper, and you will prosper. So I encourage you, if you have your children in public education, get them out today. Don't wait another day. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your commandments. Lord, I love your commandments. And my desire is to walk in the law of liberty. My desire is those who hear me to walk in the perfect law of liberty. And we know according to your word, these are your commandments. And we know according to your word that if anybody loves God, they're going to keep your commandments. By grace, by the grace of Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, that they will keep your commandments. And by this, according to 1 John 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. We're not going to be persuaded by people who say they love God and disobey God's commandments any longer. They are not doing the will of the Father. But according to 1 John 5:3, we pray, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We love you, Lord. We keep your commandments. Your commandments are not burdensome to us, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And I pray for those now who the light's turned on. They see your will. They're going to renew their minds. They're no longer going to be conformed to this world as they send their kids off in that yellow slave bus to take them, to imprison them in the demise and the despair of humanism in the state-sponsored government public education. But now that they see this, they're looking for a way, Lord, maybe financially. They may not see how they can do it, but I pray that you give them the wisdom. I pray that they commit no matter what, that they are determined. They have their faces set like flint. They are determined that they will keep your commandments. They will educate their children in Christianity and in the commandments of God. And this commandment to educate them this way will not be a burdensome for them, because they're born of God. They overcome the world. And therefore, the victory that causes them to overcome the world is their faith. I pray that faith will arise. I pray that they will feed on your word until they have faith to do the right thing, to keep your commandments, and to take their precious treasure, their children, and train them up in the way that they should go. Train them in righteousness. Train them to keep God's commandments. Train them in a Christian worldview. Train them to think God's thoughts after him. And I thank you, Lord, your word goes forth out of your mouth. It will not return you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto you have sent it, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.